Welcome to We Geek Podcast. Today is September 9th, Wednesday. It is our 25th episode, and my name is Adam, and I'm joined by my good friend Logan.
Hello.
What up? So a few little notes before we get started. We did actually nail down a date and time for us to be on the N.FM. It's going to be Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So, you know, if you don't catch the show, you know, on the iPod or whatnot, or the Android, please listen to us live. It only does us a favor. It does, you know, it's good for us and the station. The N.FM, you know, go ahead and listen to it. It's a great station. And listen to us at 9 live. That would help us out greatly. So we thought it'd be a good time, you know, kind of for our show at night. It's the same day that we release it live on, you know, the podcast. So it's we thought it was a good time. So, So how was your week?
Crazy. Work was insane.
Yeah, man. Talk about it, dude. Oh man. So anyway, like my buddy came into town, like always. And you know, I don't know if I mentioned it last time. It's been one of those, like, I'm really waiting for, you know, it has to stop. So, you know, I'm so glad that, you know, this is like the last, I don't know the next time one of my friends is coming into town. I knew it was going to be kind of back to back, so I caught a little break. But I did have fun. We went to Disney, we went to Epcot. You know, we just had a blast for a few days, and then I worked Labor Day weekend, and it was super slow. I was able to, before and after, I should say, watch Mr. Robot, and we'll talk about that later.
Oh yeah, and, we will.
Yeah, pretty much. Watched most of it one day, and I finished it up this morning. So, yeah, man, it was a good weekend. Got little rest, but you know, just ready to start out. So, yeah, man. So, well, let's get into it. You know, I should say I did play some games, read some comics. We'll get into that too. But you know, let's get right into it. We got a lot of movie news to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
Let's see here. Let's do the first one. We got Halloween Returns with director Marcus Dustin. Wants Jillian Jacobs to star. Now, do you know who Jillian Jacobs is?
I should. It escapes me. I know the name. I'm gonna know it when I hear
it. She's from Community. See, I didn't know if you knew her.
Yeah, like, because I think I've seen her in something or on, I don't know, maybe I saw her, like, on, like, The Late Show or something.
Right, yeah, she's like the blonde girl from Community, that's who I knew her from, and she's funny, so, you know, I think she's capable of doing a Halloween, you know, movie, but I don't know, I thought that was interesting. There's a lot of these, like, I don't know, a lot of horror movie news today, it seemed like.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Yeah, and actually, let's kind of jump around here. Let's do some horror stuff first and kind of get those out of the way. Besides, you know, Halloween returning, which, by the way, which is your favorite Halloween?
I catch a truckload of flack for this because my favorite Halloween is Zombies remake.
Oh, no, it's not that. I didn't think it was that bad.
Well, and I mean, because that's, here's the thing. Like, I'm a new school horror fan. Like, right. I understand why Carpenter's worked 40 years ago, why it was,
Have
you know.
Have it been 40 years?
Yeah, 70. Was it 73, I think?
Oh, my gosh.
I think so, yeah. 70. I think it was 73. It might have been 83, but I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was like 73. But I mean, you know, it was a completely different era of movies. And what worked then doesn't necessarily work now. And so, like, I went and I watched the original and I was like, okay, that does nothing for me. It just doesn't. I understand that it's a classic and I see why and I respect that immensely. But subjectively, it does nothing for me.
Right, in 1978.
78, thank you. Yeah. So almost 40 years.
Right, yeah, almost. It's been a while. Yeah. I really do. That's, see, I liked kind of the original Halloween. The new ones I appreciated. Actually, I only saw one of the new ones, but
that's enough.
right. That first one, I don't know what it was about. Just the way the house looked. You know, I can't really describe. It's been years since I've seen it, but I just remember the house freaking me out. The scenes, how they did, just the filming of it. The house looked creepy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and it was just, I guess the house kind of reminded me to one of my family members' house, and it always freaked me out because it's an older house. So I guess in my mind, in the 90s watching it, those houses back then looked normal, but they, you know, I don't know how to explain it. I'm probably not explaining it right, but seeing my family members' house like that, it always freaked me out because I was like, this is an old house. And, you know, it just reminded me of it. And I don't know why, but it always creeped me out. And I never really got the whole mask thing until much later.
Yeah.
Like how it was, why did my mind just go blank? Star Trek.
Shatner. It was a Shatner mask, yeah.
It was Shatner. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never realized that until later. You know, until I was told. I was like, that's weird. Yeah, man, we got some other horror movie news. Did you know they were doing a Leatherface origin story?
I heard rumblings about this once, right. But like I never heard anything like after
that. Well, they got the poster. Have you seen it?
No, it's got a poster already? Wow.
Yeah, it's got a teaser poster, and here, I'll describe it for you. It is someone standing in, it's like a kid, standing in a puddle, and it's all dark and gloomy, and in that puddle, you see the reflection of Leatherface.
Oh, sure. Okay, well, that's not bad. That's mildly clever.
Right, exactly. I thought it was pretty clever. And yeah, no, it looked kind of cool. It looked like a really cool poster, I thought, so... What did you think of that series?
That was kind of the opposite. Where like the first one just scared the holy hell out of me,
right?
But like the recent ones, nah, they've just been bad.
I thought the recent ones were fun. The first one of the recent ones, like the one where they're in the vehicle. I don't know why. I liked it. Like it creeped me out, and you know, it was one of those. I guess I saw it kind of like at a good – like I was dating a girl. I forgot what it was, who I was with. But it was like me and a bunch of guys took a bunch of girls to the theater, and it was just fun. You know, I don't know. So I think maybe that helped enjoy the movie.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. I would imagine.
Right, yeah. So, you know, thinking back now, actually, that's probably why I enjoyed it a little bit more. But it was – I don't know. I thought it was a cool movie. But yeah, the original – didn't they use like real footage of – death in the first film, or was that just like a rumor that
I think that's just an urban legend.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I heard that they like used like real Vietnam footage or something crazy like that. But yeah, clearly I'm wrong. But yeah, no. So anyway, they had the poster for that. There's another one in here. Where was it? There was another horror. Okay. What did you think of Cabin Fever?
I don't think I've seen that movie since it came out.
Right, me
and
either.
That's been, what, 12, 13? No, here it is, 2002. God, it's been 13 years.
It has. Jeez. Didn't it star the guy from, it was Ryder Strong, right? He was in Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So that's what stuck out to me when I originally saw it. I just kept seeing Sean.
Wow, yeah.
The entire film. Yeah. So it really stuck out. But what did you think of that one? Did you like?
You know what? I don't even really remember it.
I just remember crazy.
Yeah, I don't remember really anything about it.
Right, I remember it spawned like a bunch of weird sequels, but
oh, there's that... well, they all do, you know?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But
yeah, they actually had didn't wasn't there was one that just came out a couple of years ago, wasn't there? Was it called Patient Zero? I think.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I think you're right.
I don't think it was that long ago, but I don't know.
Well, I guess this IFC Midnight has acquired the rights to it, and they plan on remaking it.
Okay, sure. IFC does some interesting stuff like that, so that might be interesting.
All right, cool. Yeah, so I mean, well, let's go back up to the top here. We kind of jumped around for some horror. Entourage star Kevin Connolly will reportedly direct John Travolta in the John Gotti biopic.
God, that thing's been floating around forever.
Right,
it's been one of those that's been in development hell for eternity.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, I never really heard about this.
Like, you hear rumblings, you know.
Right. I didn't know he was a director.
I didn't know either.
Right. I honestly thought it would have been the other way around, but it doesn't make sense, I guess, if it's John Gotti, so.
Yeah, because I know that Travolta has been trying to get this made for a while.
Right, yeah. No, see, I didn't know that. Let's see. I guess Lindsay Lohan was once attached to play the wife Victoria.
Yeah, I think that was the last bit of news I ever saw on that. But
right,
that
Joe Pesci was on board to play Gotti's right hand. Oh, that would have been interesting.
Yeah, it's I'm you know, okay, sure, why not?
Yeah. Will you take the next one?
Oh, this blew my hair back. And that's impressive because there's a lot of hair up here. Fox, and that's the weird part. Fox is doing this. Fox is developing a live-action Mega Man movie. Now, we'll just let that part of it sink in for a second. Fox is developing a live-action Mega Man movie. And yes, we are talking the video game, the original Rockman, Dr. Light, Rush, the whole bit.
Right.
And they're working with a production company called Cherman Entertainment, and they've done, they worked on New Girl and Spy and Heat and Terra Nova, and they did the last Planet of the Apes movie and the next one coming up. So they did Dawn and now War for Planet of the Apes. So that's a good pedigree right there. Oh, yeah. So. I missed that part the first time I saw this story. I was like, well, Fox is doing this. Dear God, help us all. Because, you know, I had just seen Fantastic Four. So, but then I saw this, and I thought, well, now, hang on. Maybe. You know?
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah, no doubt. I remember I was talking to someone that said Disney. We had a few too many. And, you know, we were just talking about Mega Man and just how weird of a live-action film that would be and how in the world they would do it.
Well, the original Nintendo box art for the first Mega Man is very live-action-y, and it's him with a gun. It's not right, him with – yeah.
No, yeah, no doubt. It made me wonder – how, like, what direction they could go in with this. It could be extremely campy. They could try to make it more realistic. And, I mean, I guess, you know, it could just be about, you know, a doctor making a boy robot, right? That's what – I'm trying to think of what the story of Mega Man is. I played a bunch of the games,
That's kind of essentially it, more or
right.
less.
Right. You know, and that could be a story, you know, that could turn into a film. We're kind of making – I think we're at this point where – we're making so many comic book films, and video games they've tried for so many years to make a good video game film.
Yeah.
And there might have been one, two, I can't even think off the top of my head, but none of them has gotten this kind of attention and money and studios and, you know, wealth behind it, you know, and I'm curious what video game's going to set it. Going to set the difference, going to set the bar and go, oh, wow, that's a good video game movie.
Totally.
My money is on
Warcraft. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one where I think it could make the jump. But we'll talk about that when we get back. Again, you're listening to We Geek Podcast on the N.FM. Welcome back. Yeah, man, we were just talking about video games. You know, making the jump or whatnot. One piece of news, and I don't know if I saw this on the list, but I kind of wanted to talk about. Maybe we talked about it last week. Did you see about Spielberg?
What in particular?
Talking about how comic book movies, they're going to go the way of the Western.
Oh, yes, I saw that. I don't think we talked about it last week, but.
All right.
I mean,
what do you think about this? Let me hear from you.
I actually don't think it's a terrible analogy, really.
Right.
I've always kind of thought, well, I mean, you know, since long before we started this, I always thought, you know, we're going to hit critical mass. By 2020, we're right. going to, you know, this bubble is going to burst at some point.
Well, right. Any roller coaster, things are going to go up, things are going to go down. And I think, you know, maybe that I totally agree with that. I think, of course, something else is going to come along that is going to be super popular. It's going to grab audiences' attention, and it's going to take off, and it's going to be the number one kind of film made. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So So I agree there. The Way of the Western, I think there's too much involved in why the Westerns fell the way they did. It's not the same kind of situation.
I agree with that. Because the West, you know, Westerns were made, and the thing is, you think that we have saturation with comic book movies. Go back and look at Westerns. Those of you out there whose parents or grandparents, if you still have them, you know, ask them about that. Because they I mean, Westerns were you know, every week there was a new Western film. And then they, you know, that was oversaturation. I mean, Westerns were it. Everything from the Lone Ranger up to Bonanza.
You know, I was reading an article on IGN, and they kind of dissected this comment that Spielberg did. And, you know, they went into it about how, you know, of course they're going to hit a peak and go down. That's inevitable. That's going to happen.
Right.
But the Westerns completely fell. A lot of reasons. For example, they said, you know, I was reading Vietnam had a lot to do with it. It had a lot to do with, before that point, America had this ideal of itself, and it was just so involved with itself. But it went through that time period where that idea changed. And, you know, once Vietnam happened, you know, we weren't making those same kind of movies anymore. There was a huge shift in filmmaking. And, you know, there was a lot of other reasons too, especially because merchandising now, there's so much involved with Disney and merchandising in these films that the film industry is a completely different animal 2015 than it was back then.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. There's too much money involved for, you know, and the, you know, so I think it's just I hear this a lot from a lot of people that, like, oh, there's going to be a bubble. And I think people are maybe hoping it fails. I don't know why, but, you know, of course it's going to hit its saturation point, and some people are going to feel tired of it. But I guess my counter argument is the way Marvel at least does it, they do it differently. For example, we're going to be seeing a movie come out in next year? Doctor Strange, and it's going to be the director behind it is all about horror. It's all he's done. Exorcism of Emily Rose and whatnot. That kind of film, you know, from the pedigrees that they put behind it, the writing and everything else. Of course, we haven't seen a single trailer, but everything they've said about it and everything going into it seems like it's going to be kind of a horror-driven type film. That doesn't sound anything like Captain America Winter Soldier, which doesn't sound anything like Guardians of the Galaxy, which doesn't sound anything like Ant-Man. They were all very different kind of films. So that I guess that's what I'm saying, is that as long as they keep the different, you know, I think it'll be good. The thing with Westerns is almost every single one I've seen has been a spaghetti Western. Has been a guy that's come into town, taken on the law, and they won. A few times they didn't, but that's the Western. I think it's doing a disservice to the film industry by just jumbling them all together and calling them a comic book movie.
It's the same thing about the actual medium comic book itself.
Exactly.
The comic book by itself is not a genre.
Oh, good point. If I could say something real fast.
Go for it.
My buddy came and spent the night for one night. You know, he stayed at Animal Kingdom for like a whole week, but one night before he did that, he kind of spent the night at my place. And, you know, I had Sex Criminals, the graphic novel, right, you know, right by the John in the bathroom. And, you know, he saw it and he was like, what is this? And in his mind, he only thought comic books was superhero stuff. And when I was showing it to him, and I showed him Deadly Class and, you know, Southern Bastards and stuff like that, it blew his mind. You know, I showed him Deadly Class, and they're dropping acid in Deadly Class. They're like, it's totally different from what. And I think it. I guess my friend is kind of the perfect idea of someone who goes to the movies, comic book movies, and doesn't really know anything about the industry right now. They don't read comics. They haven't read comics since they were a kid. They just enjoy the films for what they are. And yeah, I guess that's my point, is that yeah, they saw it only as, oh, those are only superhero books. No, there's a lot out there that's different. And good. You know, like The Walking Dead. Would you consider that a comic book movie, TV show, or whatever? That, no, I wouldn't. It's its own genre. It's a survival horror type thing. You know.
No,
sorry, I didn't mean to go on a rant there.
No. It's that was kind of exactly where I was kind of pushing you that way. Because that's, I mean, that's the thing. Like, comic books, saying comic book movie would have been like saying, novel movie. The novels are anything and everything. Gone with the Wind was a novel movie. The Godfather was a novel movie. List is endless.
Exactly. It's a platform. And,
yeah.
You know, that's why I think, you know, it's Spielberg. He's entitled to his opinion, of course, you know, and it just, I think, you know, there was a lot behind what he said that's true. A lot that, you know, I don't know. I guess, have our own opinion.
I do think the idea of the superhero comic book movie, I will agree to that being kind of, I can see that being where people are like, look, I'm done with this. I can't do the spandex anymore. Just stop, please. I'm begging you.
So, exactly.
So the kind of movies, the kind of comic books they adapt will change. And that's, we'll see that kind of a shift. And it'll be more, you know, it's like, it'll be like what Marvel has done, but on a much different scale.
Right.
So that's, but you know, it's a fair point, and it's an argument to be made, and it's not entirely wrong, I don't think.
No, exactly. I think there was a lot behind it, you know, that was true. So it's, yeah, I thought that was interesting. So what is this Artemis Fowl? I've never heard of this.
Artemis Fowl was a kid's series that was kind of, God, it came after Us. But it was kind of like, it's a kid genius who discovers magic, essentially, and magic creatures. And it's kind of a taboo to mix the two, in a sense, you know. And it was really popular, and anybody who remembers it is going to say, oh yeah, I remember that. They were cute, and they were fun, and they got kind of deep. A little bit. They did grow a little, as you would expect them to with their audience. But they've been kicking around the idea of a movie for, when was the last, first time I saw something about this was probably 5 years ago, at least.
Oh, okay.
And they, you know, they announced it, and they're like, we're doing this, and everybody went, great. And then, you know, nothing happened, as is wont to happen in Hollywood. But they finally landed on a director, and they've landed on Kenneth Branagh, and I think that's a magnificent choice.
Let me see here. That name does not sound familiar to
Thor.
Me. Sorry.
He directed Thor, for instance.
Oh, okay.
He was Gilderoy Lockhart in the second Harry Potter movie. He's a huge, Shakespeare through and through.
He did Valkyrie. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, he did. Yeah, I see Henry the Fifth, Hamlet. Okay.
Yeah, this is a good choice. I love this choice.
I really love Valkyrie. Actually, one of my buddies' family. I guess I shouldn't get into that. One of his family members was actually a part of the whole Valkyrie thing.
Oh.
And yeah, died, you know, trying to take down the Nazis. So that movie kind of, I made sure I watched that one. I thought it was pretty good. It got a lot of bad reviews, but I thought it was good. Thought it was well directed. So that's cool. Let's see here. Yeah, Mega Man. Oh well, I guess keeping. Well, we'll keep kind of the comic book stuff for a little bit. Dude, when I saw this news, you know, I thought this was. We've heard rumblings about this a lot.
Yeah.
And clearly this has to do a lot with NWA success, I think. But last Friday, they released a poster for the third film.
Yeah.
And it's basically going to star everybody.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Right. And you know, that's here. Let's see who's in, there was someone else that I saw that hasn't been in the series yet.
Because I don't look. I never saw Next Friday. I didn't. I saw Friday, but I never saw Next Friday. So I didn't know. Like Mike Epps kind of stood out to me. Cat Williams.
They were
stood
all
out.
There was. There's been three of them. So Cat Williams was the third one. Mike Epps was the second and third one, and then there was someone who was the one that I saw that stood out that's not in the let's see here. Okay, I guess it's going to be 20 years later.
Okay, sure. That makes sense.
That's kind of cool. Yeah, I don't know who it was.
And they're still broke living on the same block, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll come back to, I guess, who I thought was in. Oh, wait. No, who's the guy in Drive Along? Ride Along with Ice Cube.
Oh, Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart. That's it. Yeah. That was the one that stood out where I was like, he hasn't. Of course, he's super popular right now.
Sure.
But, yeah, no, pretty much everyone else I saw on the poster are from the Friday movies. And, of course, they actually became really big afterwards. You know, Mike Epps and Chris Tucker and whatnot.
Chris Tucker went on to do, like, three other movies, and that was it.
No, he had a little good run. He did, like, three alone were the Rush Hour films.
He did the Rush Hour films and the Fifth Element, and that was it.
No. What was the one with Money in the Bank, or what was it?
I don't know, man.
It was there was Rush Hour. He did Silver Linings, but that was much later. Money Talks. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Okay, how long ago was that?
Right. No. But I'm saying this was right after that. But you're right. This was with Charlie Sheen. That's how long.
Yeah,
ago.
That's what I mean. Like after Rush Hour 2, he took a decade off.
That's true. He got in some trouble too.
Well, you know, it's Hollywood. What are you gonna do?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But man, I'm excited for that. I remember seeing that movie back in the 90s. My stepbrother had the DVD, or maybe it was VHS tape, and I remember knowing my parents would not let me watch it because how much cussing and stuff there was in it.
Yeah.
You know, you got knocked up out, like all those lines. I felt so cool watching it, and you know, watching, you know, NWA and stuff like that, or Straight Out of Compton, I'm sorry, I don't think they mention it in there, but you know, that's the same director, you know, that's this, isn't it, the same director?
Yeah, same guy.
Right. And so, like, you know, Ice Cube, that was his. Oh yeah, he was writing the lines for that in the film. That's right.
Yeah,
you know,
there is the scene in the living room where he's writing it. Yeah.
Right, and the, you know, bye Felicia, like all of that. That's
I love that that was improv'd. His son improv'd that line. I loved it.
Oh yeah, totally. All right, man. Well, we'll be right back. We got a lot more to talk about. Again, you're listening to the We Geek Podcast on the N.FM. All right, welcome back. Again, you listen to We Geek Podcast. Yeah, well, let's get into some other movie news. We've been talking long about it, but I did see Nicktoons, Paramount Pictures, planning shared universe, live-action, animated, hybrid feature film with the iconic cartoons. So I guess it's you're gonna be like Who Framed Roger Rabbit meets Lego Movie, but with Nicktoons?
Yes.
I'm in.
So am I.
Oh, my God. Like, that is the best news I've heard, I think, all week.
That's as soon as I saw, like, they're doing a Nicktoons movie, I'm like, okay, click, read. And then I saw, like, that was the thing. They were like, the Lego movie got huge, and Wreck-It Ralph was huge. And they were like, okay, so the idea of, like, all of these things existing in one universe can work.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So
and they have the right to all of them.
Yeah,
it's why not? Like that is so cool.
I just want to see either in the movie or as like a bonus short, Reptar versus the team of Quailman and Powdered Toast Man.
Oh yeah,
I have to see this. I have to see this happen.
This is going to get so many audiences. It's going to get new kids. It's going to get us. You know, like it, there's you're going to get everyone between the age of I don't know, 5 or 4 to 30 years old.
Oh, at least. Oh, yeah. Easy.
Yeah. This is going to be huge if they do it right. And I'm sure they will. That's amazing. You know, that's going to put you know, Nicktoons back on. Oh man, that's the best news. We should just close the show now. Good night, guys. No, I'm just kidding. No. But that was amazing. Can't wait for that. Well, we got some other new hears. Did you see the first still from Bourne?
I did. I saw that.
Dude, man, he's jacked.
Isn't he though?
God, Matt Damon, dude. He's got to be in the new Batman versus Superman. I'm just kidding. No, but dude, he's ripped. I love Matt Damon. Him and Ben Affleck. I've been watching since, you know, the Kevin Smith type films, and I can't get enough of them. So you know, but the weird thing is I never really got into the Bourne series, but you know, I'm gonna watch this one. Apparently, you don't need to know much about him to go into this one. I read that they're because it's I guess been so long since his series.
Yeah, that would make sense.
So they're kind of trying to make it so that fans can just get into it. So I thought that was cool. I saw this. Michael Fassbender, this is just a rumor, may star as Detective Harry Hole for the Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy / Let the Right One In. Director Thomas Alfronson. So Let the Right One In. Have you seen this?
I did. Yeah. That was creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. I never saw it. But you know, I don't know. I Michael Fassbender just seems to be in everything.
He's here's the thing, like, I'm hearing some crazy good buzz coming out of the recent film festivals about his Steve Jobs movie.
Oh yeah. Oh, I heard it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I can't wait for that. The last one with Ashton Kutcher, wasn't excited for it. It didn't look interesting to me. We've all heard the same story. I like that this one shows him with flaws. And I guess the last one came out kind of at a time where you wanted to kind of praise the man because he just passed away. No one wants to talk bad about someone who just
– right.
You know, the man made a huge difference in the world. Love him or hate him, he did a lot of things, I guess, that, you know – that, I guess, got on people's nerves and whatnot. So I like that in the trailer for the new one, he looks vulnerable. Like, he looks like he's a person, if that makes sense. They're not trying to paint him as the best picture in the world. You know what I mean? And I like that. And Michael Fassbender, he's an amazing actor.
Yeah.
You know, everything he touches.
And Seth Rogen as Wozniak. I mean, come on. Yeah. That's almost too easy.
Exactly, and it didn't come off as like Seth Rogen, like haha, you know, fart weed joke. It was like you could tell him, at least for the little bit you've seen him in that trailer, he's kind of serious and he's kind of upset, you know.
Yeah.
Not kind of, but he is. He's like, what do you do, you know? So I like that. I like that. Yeah, I don't know. I thought the tone of the trailer was amazing. But yeah, so it kind of reminded me of a little bit of like Mr. Robot when I was watching it. Just like the way the music was and whatnot. But we'll get into that later. We'll get into that later. But yeah, we got some other news here. Sandra Bullock and Billy Bob Thornton are starring in a movie called Our Brand is Crisis. And it's about fixing elections. Did you see this?
I did not. No, tell me about this.
Okay. It looks interesting. It looks like, you know, they're both have their each candidate running for an election. I don't know what country it was in. Or what state, maybe? I don't know. It looked like it was either in the South or, like, South America. I could be totally off with this, sorry. But one of the candidates, I think it was somewhere in South America. And they're just, you know, I guess Sandra Bullock lost all of her candidates that she put up against this other guy's candidates. She's lost. And I guess in the trailer, she's trying, you know, it makes her look kind of like she does everything right. And then in this election, she might be going down the wrong path. And he's like, once you go down that path, you might win, but you're going to feel, you know, like crap. So I don't know. The trailer looked pretty good. It's basically her versus Billy Bob Thornton. It's not like a comedy. It's kind of like a little, I don't know. It just looks like a drama, and it looks pretty good.
Interesting. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So check out that trailer. What else we got here? Well, I think that's, did you see any of the Force Friday stuff?
I did. I went and got a shirt.
Oh, nice, nice. Oh, man, I wanted that BB-8 or B-88 or
BB-8, yeah.
BB-8, but it's $150.
Yeah, those things are expensive.
That's going to happen later on in life.
Uh-huh. But, man, come on, that thing looks so cool.
It does. It will happen. I will get that, you know, but not this minute. I have too many friends coming into town, and thank God that's over for a while. So, yeah, I basically told everyone, don't call me for 3 weeks. I'm just going to be relaxing and working and not spending any money. So, but yeah, man, that looked really cool. Apparently, like, I don't know the stores around you, but the stores around here, they had, like, lines out the door for all the toys and all the merchandise. I imagine Disney's going to make a ton of money off of this.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah.
I want to pick up some of the pop figurines from the new film. That might be the one thing that I collect, if anything, in this thing. Because I think there's like 16 of them, and that's manageable, you know, hopefully, over time. But I would like to have those pop figurines because, I don't know, it just looks so cool. I've come to collecting them, and I have a bunch of other Star Wars ones too, so. But yeah, so let's get into kind of the superhero stuff for the movies.
Yeah.
We got some Batman versus Superman news. Now, I didn't read this whole article. Maybe you did, but it was basically Warner Brothers reportedly wants more. It wants to be edited. It wants to edit Batman versus Superman to have more Batman, less Superman.
Yeah. There weren't really any. I didn't see any reason why. Nothing explicitly stated.
Well, we heard not too long ago that when people watched the film, right, that the people working at Warner Brothers loved Ben Affleck as Batman, and that is going to be the definitive Batman. That's right.
Yeah.
Remembering that right? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe that had a lot to do with it. They were just so like, oh my God, this is a great Batman. And that's cool. Hey, I mean, you know, I'm way more interested in Ben Affleck as Batman in this film than I am about Superman. We've seen him in Man of Steel. I want to see more Batman.
And I think that may be part of the mindset. We've established Superman. We know who he is and what he is and all this. So now let's focus on the other characters.
Exactly.
I just hope they don't forget that Wonder Woman's in this movie.
It seems like they have, you know.
I still go back to I blame David Goyer for that, because he hasn't shown yet that he understands female characters.
Exactly. And I mean, I guess to be devil's advocate, I hope maybe they're saving a lot of it just so we can see it in the theater. That's just me trying to get a silver lining out of it.
Yeah, and that could be it entirely.
It's important that she works. It's important that Wonder Woman, we know she's getting her own film, but DC really does need to focus on that demographic, especially, you know, moving forward, because we all know Marvel is and their plans and everything else.
Right.
So it's
and you have Wonder Woman. You have the definitive female superhero.
You couldn't get any better than that.
So if if you drop the ball on this, then you're just sunk, man. You're just done.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I keep my fingers crossed, because I want this movie to be better than I expect it to be.
It seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, in the last 6 months we have seen way more Harley Quinn than we have Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And that's crazy to me. I guess Harley Quinn is maybe more relevant, because she's newer than Wonder Woman, but I feel like we should have seen way more Wonder Woman than we have. And that kind of sucks.
Which kind of leads me to believe there isn't all that much more Wonder Woman. And that's what I'm afraid of. That's my fear.
Right, yeah. They are packing a lot in this movie, just kind of like they are with Civil War. I heard that the Wasp part, like, apparently the Wasp was going to become the Wasp in the new Captain America movie, but they completely cut that just because of how much stuff they have.
Well, they cut the Hulk. He's not in it. They cut his parts out.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean,
everything. There's
even the actor, not just like the CGI and all that stuff. Like, they decided not to go with it. That's what I guess I got from it. But wow, they cut his scenes entirely.
Yeah, he's out. Like,
maybe they're just tricking us.
And they that could be.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wonder if that had anything to do with all of the, musical chairs at Marvel this week.
Oh, yeah. So let's get into that.
Yeah.
Where was it at? Yeah, so I guess, I first saw the news that they disbanded their creative committee. And this is a committee that basically consisted of a lot of the Marvel writers. And
it was Feige and Quesada and Bendis and what, like two or three others, I think?
Right, exactly. And this is something that I thought was really important their films have, because this is Marvel having their ear to the comic book world. And it's what's kind of made a lot of the comic book fans like me and you super happy when we see the films. When I heard it was disbanded, I was like, oh, no. Oh, this is not good. And I guess some of the talk was that the committee actually had a lot to do with how slow some of the processes are with the films. Like, it was one of the reasons Edgar Wright left Ant-Man was because they were apparently nitpicky. And again, this is just I'm not quoting what they're saying, but that's what I got from it. Apparently that was turned around, and that's not the case, that the committee still exists, and it's still something they go to for doing the films.
Right. The difference now being, though, they don't report to Isaac Perlmutter, who's CEO of Marvel, but they report to, let me find the name here, Alan Horn, who's chief over at Disney, which in terms of it being just, because again, this is just the movie production. This is just the Marvel Studios movie production side of it.
Right.
It makes sense.
Right. And from what I understand, the TV division is still staying the same. They're still reporting the same people when it comes to television.
Right.
But not the movies, which we'll see moving forward. Coming away from, I think Civil War will be the last one that we'll see as it was moving forward, you know, with Black Panther and, who's the next one? Doctor Strange. Right. Yeah. We'll see maybe it being a little bit different. Actually, those scripts and everything are done, so I don't know, maybe it'll be a little bit after that.
Doctor Strange is supposed to still be under this, will be the last one under this structure.
Okay. Well, hey, we'll be right back again. You're listening to We Geek Podcast on the N.FM. We'll get back to you with some TV news. All right, welcome back, and we'll get into some TV news in just a second. There's one more thing with the movie news. Now, I've never seen Trainspotting before. Wasn't it – who did it star? It was Okay. So anyway, Trainspotting, apparently they're doing a second one. Danny Boyle is. Now, I think there was someone in it from Star Wars, wasn't there?
Simon Pegg, maybe?
No. Ewan McGregor.
Other Star Wars. Right. Yeah, I think so. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry about that. But so I guess they're doing a second one. Now, this is like a cult classic, I thought. This is what a lot of people tell me when they go down the list of like Clerks and stuff like that. They say Trainspotting is a good one.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but apparently they're doing a sequel. So, but yeah, man. So, all right, well, let's get into some TV news. You take the first one.
I love this news because I miss this character. Some Doctor Who news for all of the Whovians out there. Alex Kingston is coming back for the 2015 Christmas special. Yes, we will have the return of River Song.
Nice.
Because the last time we saw her character was kind of like a very sort of final kind of appearance.
I did see that one. Yeah.
Yeah. It was definitely something where it was like, well, they could. You know, the nature of this character is such that she kind of pops up everywhere at every time. Mm-hmm. But like, it was almost intentional the last time to be like, hey, we showed kind of the chronological end for River. So we don't. Right. It'll be interesting to see where in her timeline this falls.
Oh, cool. Yeah, no, I'm excited for that. I need to catch up on Who. It's all on Netflix. Logan. I have no excuse.
No, you don't.
My question, I'm curious. Are you going to pick up Lego Dimensions?
I don't know.
That every time you die in Lego Dimensions as a doctor, you're resurrected as another doctor?
That doesn't surprise me.
That, you know, every time you go into the TARDIS as that doctor, it's the TARDIS of that generation.
Of that doctor, sure.
Yeah, like, I am so excited. I think I said it before on the show, my buddy, who, I don't even know how old he is, I think he's a guy I used to work with, he's in his 40s, maybe 50s, he's buying a PlayStation 4 just to play this game. Because he's so excited. He knows that there's going to be Batman, and there's going to be, you know, Lord of the Rings stuff in it. There's Wizard of Oz stuff in it, so that when you die in with the Wizard of Oz level and you fall off, you actually go down to Kansas and there's a whole level below in black and white. Like, you know, and each world has its own color scheme and whatnot. So like when you're in Scooby-Doo, it's like a cartoon. You're in a cartoon, you know, and so like each and every world has a very distinct, different kind of, you know, texture to it and you know, just, I guess, paint or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just – that was some side news. I'm excited for that game. I wasn't at first, and it's slowly been building to where I'm like, okay. I've talked about my joy of Lego before and my, you know, love of the kind of the games really in the last year or so. So that's one that I'm definitely picking up. It actually comes out on the 27th, which is in – 3 weeks, so
two weeks, yeah. Not quite, a little more than 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely on a Sunday, so I'm getting that. But all right, well, we got some TV news. So they are mulling over the idea of reviving some of their classic Nicktoons, like Rugrats.
Yes. Oh, they dropped this news the day before the movie news.
Right. So this would make a lot of sense. And why not? I mean, that's what put Nicktoons on the map.
Yeah.
That's what made them so popular. If they just came out tomorrow and said, oh, we're doing Rocko's Modern Life, we're going to do, you know, Rugrats, we're going to be doing, I mean, you start naming some Rugrats.
Angry Rock, Beavers, Ah Real Monsters, As Told by Ginger, The Wild Thornberries, Ren and Stimpy.
That would be great. Even like if they brought back all that, what were some of the other ones that did? Are You Afraid of the Dark? They could do that. I guess that was kind of the SNICK at night.
Yeah, that was more SNICK. Like that wasn't like when they're talking Nicktoons, they mean Toons.
No, I guess I'm just saying Nickelodeon as a whole.
Oh, program.
I haven't watched Nickelodeon in years. I don't know what's on it. But if they were just like, guys, we're just going back to the well and we're doing this. Oh my God, I might actually turn in it. One of my friends, she's an adult now, and she, you know, has a real job, and she works at a school. She's a teacher, does everything else. She says, you know, I asked her a while ago, I was like, what's something weird that I don't know about you? And she was like, I still watch Nicktoons. I guess there's a channel, you know, dedicated to Nicktoons now.
Yes. Yeah, it's called Nicktoons.
Right, and she's like, at the end of the day, I watch that. And so I'm like, and I won't say who it is in case she does listen, but I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like, that's awesome. But yeah, no, those shows are amazing. Let's see here. We got some Game of Thrones news. You want to take these? Because I don't even know how to pronounce that.
Yeah.
Looks like...
Here's...
Okay, go ahead.
Let me try this. Pilu Asbeck, who is an actor of very European origin, has been cast as Euron Greyjoy. And I know some people pronounce it differently. Get over it. It's pronounced Euron. who is one of the... There's what, three... Are there two? Does Theon's dad, whose name escapes me for some reason, does he have two brothers or three? Because I remember Euron and Victarion.
Is Balon Greyjoy? B-A-L-O-N?
Balon?
Balon.
Is that his dad? Yeah, okay. So I don't remember if he was one of three or four brothers. I don't remember.
Okay.
Euron, I don't remember as much. Victarion, if I remember correctly, was more the cruel one, I think. God, I haven't read. God, because this is the one part of last season that we didn't have.
Like, oh, okay.
This is kind of the only part of the world where we're not up to speed, is what's
right.
going on with the Greyjoys and with the Iron Isles. So,
that's kind of taking a back seat.
But now seeing that come forward this season and how they play into a couple of different scenarios, what's going on with Winterfell and what's going on across the Narrow Sea.
Oh, cool.
But these are not nice people. They are really, really some nasty characters. And not just because the Ironborn are kind of tough, cold sort of, you know, did you pay the iron price for this kind of characters? But these are some nasty folks.
Man, they do a really good job of making them, you just smell and taste the sea air when you see their characters. How well they do those scenes. Like, I always smell salt water because of just how well everything is done in the scene.
Yeah.
How it's just everywhere. You just see pigeon poop everywhere. You know, it is just, the way they do that whole area, it's amazing. Take the next one, too. We got one more Game of Thrones news here.
Oh, yeah. Richard E. Grant. He's done a lot of British work. I know him because he voiced the Great Intelligence on a handful of episodes from the end of Matt Smith's run on Who.
Right.
He has been cast in Game of Thrones. Do you have any news on who he was cast as?
It doesn't say. It just says he's been cast in it. So
interesting. He may well be Victarion because he looks kind of similar.
Okay.
Just like having the beard and everything. Like it looks like this could be. He has the right kind of cut for it.
Right, and I'm pretty sure they've casted now every British actor there is.
I think they've hit them all.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, to get into some like comic book kind of TV news, because we all know how saturated comic book stuff is now. we got some Luke Cage news. Theo Rossi from Sons of Anarchy, he played, what was his
Juice.
Name?
He played Juice.
That's right, that's right. He was added to the cast. So he is, did they say who he was?
I didn't see a role listed, no.
Now, I forget the name, but I do hear, I was listening to another podcast talking about it, and apparently he's going to play like a character that was Luke Cage's friend, that when Luke Cage, I guess, in the comic gets out of jail, he sees that, you know, Luke Cage comes back and he wants to, you know, set the streets right. He wants to set his neighborhood right. And, he wants to go straight and he wants to clean up the streets. And this was one of his old friends that are like, no. And now they're not friends anymore.
Would make,
which makes sense. He's such a good actor.
Simone Kissick.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm an idiot. Yeah, Ray Donovan cast as Misty Knight.
Yes, this I like this news because I like this character.
I never saw Ray Donovan.
Was a Showtime series,
Donovan,
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Liev Schreiber and John Voight.
Right, yeah.
Good show. She had I don't want to call it a bit part, but mm-hmm. it wasn't a recurring role, I don't think.
Oh, okay, yeah. But she I don't know much about Misty Knight either.
Misty Knight was a cop who lost an arm at some point. I forget, the details vary on occasion. But the point is, Stark Industries built a bionic arm for her.
Oh, nice.
And so she became a superhero, because that's what you do.
Right, yeah. Yeah, no, okay, I'm still looking at some pictures here.
But
okay, yeah, I see the bionic arm now.
Yeah, but that'll be interesting, because again, we're coming, you know, I hate to say street level, because it does sound, you know, it evokes kind of like some bad side of town imagery, but these are not flying people. This is what goes on at street level.
I love street level stuff. It, you know, sometimes it works better in the comics. That, you know, I get in moods where I want to read like just street level characters, like Daredevil, like Luke Cage, like Iron Fist, like Spider-Man. You know, Spider-Man can be both at the same time, because they like to put him in a lot of the big stuff just because of how popular he is. But he's a street level character. You know, he's
totally.
So I sometimes really love those stories. You know, I could go and read a whole Daredevil run, and then I'll be good for a few months. You know, I get in moods where I want to read, you know, Silver Surfer, completely, you know, Green Lantern type of stuff. So, you know, they have their place, and I think it fits so perfectly on television.
Oh, especially with what they're showing. And to kind of leapfrog a little bit, we saw John Bernthal, who's playing the Punisher.
Right.
Tweeted himself in front of just this, what could have been the wall at an armory,
yeah.
Basically. And it was like, so, okay.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't going to be an unprepared Punisher.
No. Apparently, we all know, you know, spoiler alerts, should we spoil the end of, you know, in the first season of Daredevil, the things that happen at the end kind of stay like that. Where, you know, the streets are cleaned up a little bit, but now it's going to be really like a Daredevil versus Punisher type season where that is going to be the main protagonist. I'm down with that.
Yeah, with Elektra mixed in.
Exactly. You know, and I'm sure somewhere in the middle some real big threat comes in, or, you know, they both have to join together. It's comic book stuff. So, you know, so it's I'm expecting that, but, you know, I think that's really cool. You know.
I love the way that was thrown in there, you know. And then there's it's comic book stuff.
Well, you know, that's usually how it happens.
Yeah,
is that, you know,
yeah.
These two people are at odds, and then a bigger bad guy comes and they put their stuff.
Totally. Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, I would, because come on, D'Onofrio's Kingpin
yep.
was just it was magnificent.
Oh yeah.
Just
oh yeah.
Unreal. How good that was.
Oh yeah,
but I mean, just a magnificent performance, and I want to see where they go from there, because that's going to be tough to top.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll be right back. We got some more TV news, and we'll get into video games. Again, you're listening to WeGeek Podcast on the N.FM, and we're back. Yeah, man. So we got a few more things to talk about with TV news. We got now. Wait a second. This doesn't make sense. Oh yeah, no, okay, I'm sorry. Back up. Justice League. Apparently there was a photo. Did you see this? It had the Cartoon Network, and it had a bunch of its cartoon shows.
Yeah.
Which one of them was like a Dracula, Bugs Bunny, but okay. So anyway, one of them though, which stood out, was a JLA poster.
Yeah, I saw this. It was weird the way it was done, because mm-hmm. it was like a stamping of silhouettes. It was almost. Right. What am I looking for? What's the word I'm looking for here? Not like a dictionary, but like, it was just like an illustrated encyclopedia mm-hmm. almost. It wasn't like, and here's a lineup. It was like, no, it's a sticker book. That's the word I was looking for.
Right.
It looked like somebody had peeled out all the stickers.
Exactly.
And you were left with just the silhouettes.
Right, right. And so, yeah, exactly. And so it looked like, you know, it might be one of those where, what was that last one? There was like Justice League Unlimited, where they had a bunch of characters.
Yeah.
You know, instead of, you know, I'm just having a bunch of them on the poster, that's kind of what leads me in that direction of thinking.
Totally.
But yeah, no, more DC animation. They do such a good job, so.
And then they cancel it immediately.
Right, right. Well, I mean, they got this Batman vs. Superman movie coming out. It is the perfect time to have some DC animation on their network, so. Yeah, hopefully it doesn't get canceled in two or three seasons and then they start over and blah, blah, blah.
Hey, after what they did with Green Lantern, I would just like it to make one.
Right.
Like, yes. They canceled that thing halfway through its first season, and yeah. I couldn't figure out why.
That and that Batman one was strange, too.
That was another one that, like, it just vanished.
Right, yeah. They didn't even – I think they finished out the show at, like, 3 a.m. on – some random, yeah, they were like, nope, this isn't working. Gonna cancel it. But yeah. So, all right, well, we got some Arrow news. Did you see the trailer for season 4?
I did. I loved that trailer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was good. It was, who released it? Who did I see?
I saw it from Amel's page.
Yeah, was it Stephen Amell? That's right. I knew one of the cast members leaked
it.
Not leaked it, but released it. yeah. I thought that was cool.
Just seeing, you know, just the whole idea of, you know, it cuts to here's Ollie and Felicity in suburbia. It's like, wait a minute, what?
I thought that was really cool.
And then, you know, the whole idea of, like, time has passed. Like a substantial, you know, right. Not like 20 years or something, but this is... did they say how long? I don't remember.
I don't think they did.
But I mean, this was like, it's been at least a year, I think.
Right.
And judging by the way it looked and everything, and they've, you know, they've rebranded it, you know, Star City now,
right.
And everything else. And you know, John Diggle turned into Magneto. And just, God, that outfit looks awful.
It looks awful,
It's terrible.
Maybe they're trying to get us to not like it so that when he goes back to just being regular, it's like, okay. And that's the thing. I thought it was cool that he had his own thing, but I guess it makes sense in the long run. Like, he needs to be able to protect his family and not be his face out there for everyone to see, you know?
Right. No, I'm serious. Like, it's totally a Magneto copy.
Right, and right. Put a hood on him or something different.
Know? But, you know, and come on, we got a glimpse, you know, Matt Ryan is back with Constantine. I cannot wait for that episode. It's what, episode 8, 9? I forget exactly which one.
Did they show that in the trailer?
They showed him, just a quick glimpse of just him, but he, oh man.
Oh, maybe I missed that. Yeah, no, that's awesome. I remember they were showing Damian Dark.
He's the big bad this year.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's interesting because his character is not real fleshed out in the comics.
Yeah, no, I don't know much about him.
He's not a real, like, there is very little, like, that's a good pull for them,
right?
To just be like, hey, here's a character that, like, you may have heard of, but there's just nothing out. It's not like Ra's al Ghul, mm-hmm. where it was like, here's a character with so much history. And whatnot. No, this is Damian Dark is one that has very little comic book history.
Right. It might be they can play with it a little bit more.
And I think that's the idea. And I think that's a great idea. It's a great way to go about it.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah. Ra's al Ghul, you can you're gonna make a lot of people upset if you do it wrong. And so, and plus you have just with the movie that came out not too long ago, you know, you're gonna get that comparison.
Oh,
so,
sure, yeah, it's inevitable.
Yeah, so this is cool. Let's see here. What else? We got one more. I think one more TV news here. Netflix reportedly producing new Black Mirror episodes. Now, is this a show that you used to watch?
I never watched it.
Yeah, me either. But, you know, apparently Netflix is thinking about picking it up.
Interesting. So. Yeah, I heard good things about it. I did have a buddy of mine that was actually, like, he's not somebody that usually gets excited for much. Because he's kind of a cynical pain in the ass, but I love him anyway. But he's a critic because he's a writer, he's a director, and he's a critic. It's just part of his makeup.
Nice.
So when he gets, that's the thing though. Like when he actually gets excited about something, that's one you kind of turn to, and you're like, okay, then I have to see this.
Oh, and, yeah. Unfortunately, I'm looking at pictures and it just looks bizarre.
Yeah. So I'll have to make sure. I'm pretty sure this is on my list somewhere, but I'll have to check it again and be sure.
Cool. Yeah. Well, that will wrap it for TV news. We got some video game news now. You know, I guess we'll save kind of the Destiny stuff for last because there's a lot to talk about.
Okay.
Because the new 2.0 dropped today. But let's take this Nintendo one first.
I love this. I didn't even know that Pikmin 4 was a thing, but Shigeru Miyamoto announced today that not only is this a thing, but it's, in his words, very close to completion.
See, I gotta be honest with you, I never played a Pikmin.
I never did either until 3, and you know what? I got addicted.
Is that good?
It's just simple fun. It really is. Like, there's not a tremendous amount of it's not complicated. There's enough there to keep you interested, but it's not like overly, you know, it's simple puzzle solving.
Right,
in
right,
a sense.
That's right.
But it's an interesting environment. I had neither. I'd never played a Pikmin game before 3. And when I did, I was like, okay, you know what? I like this. This is interesting.
That's cool. Yeah, no, that's yeah, I don't know why I've never played it. I've had a Wii and whatnot. I just didn't, I don't know. It was one of those series that just kind of I never played, never touched. So
yeah.
But I know there's a lot of fans out there for him. So that's cool. That's cool. So we got let's see here. We got some Ubisoft news, and I thought this was strange.
This is bizarre. I mean, I had seen some things here and there that they wanted to do a theme park. Like this, this was an idea that I saw floated every once in a while. They've announced that they actually are going to be building a theme park based around some of their properties. Assassin's Creed, Just Dance, which was a strange addition, but okay. And the Rabbids, of course. And that makes perfect sense. They're gonna build it. It should be finished in 2020, and it's going to be in Kuala Lumpur, over in Malaysia.
What? Come on! You couldn't do this in Orlando? Like,
there's no room in Orlando.
Man. Oh, there's tons of room.
Disney owns it all.
No. Yes, Disney does own a lot of Central Florida, but there's still a lot of room. You go just a little bit north, and there's just country. There's just land. It's what a strange location. And some of the jokes I saw going around were like, so when it comes out, everyone's going to get there, and they're going to wait for patch number. It's going to be waiting in line, waiting in queue. Because none of the rides are going to work.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So, okay, Ubisoft, I hope you do great, Malaysia. I will never visit your theme park because I don't ever plan on going to Malaysia anytime soon or could afford it. So, but, I mean, that's cool, I guess.
Well, you know, Southeast Asia is a big market.
Yeah,
it's a huge market now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just being selfish. But
A little ethnocentric. But that's okay.
Well, I guess I've stated before, I'm born and raised in Florida, Orlando, you know, so I would that just I was like, oh, Ubisoft theme park. My mind just rolled that way, and then I was like, oh, Malaysia. Oh, well, at least we'll get Nintendo stuff.
I would, you know, I would have thought it would have been more, you know, like put this in Canada or something. You know,
yeah, I mean, that makes sense. In
Ubisoft
Canada, yeah,
Montreal is their big studio.
Right, right. It just doesn't make any sense for Malaysia. But I'm sure they have people racking numbers that it makes total lot of sense. So
I guess.
It's just on the other side of the world for me, so it's disappointing. But that's cool. So yeah, let's see. What do we got here? We got now Metal Gear Solid 5 came out, praised high from everybody. But I guess there's a few issues with I guess your save. There's a corruption if you bring Quiet along on mission 29 and 42.
Yeah, yeah. There was they put out a big thing that was like, "Hey, whoa, hold up, don't do this."
Right, right. You think they would have got that in the testing?
Well,
quality.
You know, I don't know. Maybe Konami was too busy scrubbing all the Kojima logos to notice anything of substance.
Exactly. Oh, hold on just a moment. I had an issue there with the mic. But yeah, no, I totally agree. Yeah, it's, you know, and I'll be honest, you know, we're going to talk about it later today on the podcast, but you know, I've had it sitting there. I want to play it so bad. I'm so excited to play it. I haven't got to it. It's honestly because my friend came into town, so since like Wednesday until Labor Day, I was just busy. But that's a game I'm going to be getting into this week. I've been playing a lot of Ground Zeroes. Well, I shouldn't say a lot. It's I forgot how hard Metal Gear is compared to a lot of other shooters. It's a stealth game, and you got to have just a different mindset going in. And you know, it's, I don't know if I want to play Ground Zeroes first. I don't know. I mean,
you know, we saw that there are rewards for it.
Right. There's definitely rewards for it. You get like a special stealth suit and a few other things if you have your save file. But I kind of, it's like, this thing's out. I want to play it. I don't want to play this other thing for hours knowing that, okay, I'm just going to have to do that to get into this.
Well, but I mean, here's the thing. I watched somebody speed run Ground Zeroes in like 20 minutes.
But I'm sure they played a lot of Metal Gear recently. I haven't.
That's
so
true.
So in a way, it's probably getting me used to it, and it's going to be like, okay, play this for a little bit, get used to the controls, get used to it, and it's going to be like a trial before you play the new game. But from what I hear in the new game, you're given a lot of stuff up front, and you get to have fun with it, where in Ground Zeroes, you're not.
Well, but, you know, I mean, that's, you know, it's a training ground in a sense, you know.
Right.
It's like, well, if you want to play the game maybe the way it should be played, mm-hmm. you know, one could always make that argument that now you're more ready for it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I
want to get into the new 5, but I haven't yet. So that's something I'm going to be knocking out this week. I know Taken King comes out next week, so I'm going to want to do that before.
Oh, goody.
but yeah, man. So, well, we got a little bit more video game stuff to talk about, some Destiny, some comics. We'll be right back. Again, you're listening to We Geek Podcast on the N.FM. Welcome back. Yeah, man. So we got some more video game news to talk about. A few things here. I saw that they've announced and given a release date for the Witcher Heart of Stone expansion. So yeah, I guess it's called Hearts of Stone. I don't know exactly what it's going to be about, but this is going to be one of their like substantial expansion stuff. So if you haven't bought the season pass, this is going to be one of the ones you're going to buy for, I don't know, a few bucks or whatever, and play. Have you played any more of The Witcher?
I haven't gone back to it yet. I haven't either. It's sitting there waiting.
Yeah, and that's the problem. That game is so meaty that, you know, it's daunting to even think about going back and playing.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, man, it's I have all these other games on the list that I'd rather kind of jump into, you know, before it for some reason. I want to go back to it, and I'm sure there'll be time in the next, you know, 6 months to a year where we just won't have games. And that's when I'll go, okay, got The Witcher. Let's dive back into the world. I got a few months.
Good call.
And that, you know, I'm sure that will happen after the holidays and probably a little bit before it. Actually, no, we're coming up right on.
We're gonna have Star Wars, man. What are you talking about?
yeah. A little bit after fall, maybe next year when we have that 2 or 3 months time where there's really nothing coming out. But yeah, so anyway, October 13th is when they're doing their expansion. Another thing in October that I guess was accidentally released was the date for Minecraft Story Mode from Telltale. I don't know. I guess Amazon accidentally leaked it for the 27th for $30. So that sounds about right for those kind of games.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what kind of money that makes. Because it's, you know, it's not Minecraft, but it's Telltale. They're good games. I'm curious to see how that works out. This other news here, which I thought was interesting. First YouTuber to surpass 10 billion views on YouTube, PewDiePie. God, can you think about how much money that has to account for? 10 billion views.
It boggles the mind. Well, didn't he say he made like 7 million last year or something?
Yeah, 7 million. 7 million. I can't imagine how many, like what, 10 billion. What does that even account to in like if someone would see a movie or a TV show?
God, because it depends on the length of time for each right. video. But I mean, think about it this way. Gangnam Style hit 2 billion views as one video.
Right.
So imagine that 5 times over.
For one channel.
Like it is kind of mind-boggling, really.
It is. He's super humble about it. You know, he talked about how he delivered pizzas in college he didn't deliver pizza. He worked at a pizza place. He was getting scratched to get a computer together. He was just like you and me. He was just like us. Just living his life. And then it took off. You know, and he put a lot of hard work into it. He did a lot of dedication, and it just took off. And you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it's inspiring, I guess, is the right word. That it's cool to know that he was just like regular people, and he put something out there, and people liked it, and they caught on to it, and it took off. Right?
That's one way to look at it. Sure.
Wait, what do you mean?
I just to. You know, just to be the guy, because somebody has to do it. You know, here's 10 billion times that people have watched somebody else play a video game.
Right.
You know, just to be on the other side of this, who are these people that have no life whatsoever? They don't want to go out and buy the game and play it for themselves. They'd rather sit and watch somebody else do it. You know, it's like watching somebody else watch a movie. Who would ever do that? Especially like if these people sat there and made jokes during the whole movie. Could you imagine putting something like that on Comedy Central for 10 years if it was set in a space station? No, right. Of course not.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just to be that guy. You know, right. I have to, because somebody has to. But yeah, it's both inspiring and potentially sort of terrifying, really.
Right.
To think that's where we are now as
well,
a people.
I mean, it's all about entertainment. It's all about commentary. And
sure.
Some Kevin Smith films, I don't even watch it through regularly anymore. I love the commentary.
Yeah.
You know, and that's – we're in that world where some people would rather do that where – you know, they're sitting at work or they're doing whatever on their lunch break. They can't really pull out a game or they can't do anything like that. They watch PewDiePie. And granted, it's usually a lot of kids, I should say. So I shouldn't even say work. You know, they're just – they get home from school. They put on YouTube and that's their thing. You know, I was fascinated the other day about, you know, some of my friends' kids, they don't watch TV anymore. They just watch YouTube.
They just watch YouTube.
Let's Plays. And, you know, I guess it goes back to that South Park episode where, like – Stan, you know, in the show, he's an 8-year-old or whatever. I don't even know. But his little brother, or who knows, Kyle's little brother, was watching PewDiePie. It was like an episode about PewDiePie, and it was just like he couldn't figure it out. He's like, what happened? Like, the TV used to be the place where our family all got together, but everybody has their own screen now. And the little kids was all about PewDiePie. That's all they loved. And so, like, it really says a lot when you're getting 10 billion views on YouTube, just kind of where we're at when it comes to entertainment. And, you know, it's just a really strange place.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It is a strange place.
Right, right. But hats off to him, man. That's awesome.
Hey, you know, he found a way to make it work. You know, yeah. you know, good or bad, whatever you may think, he found a way to make it work. So
exactly. Yeah. And I think it's cool. He's super humble about it. He released that. We talked about that video not too long ago where he's like, here's the deal, guys. He's like, I just did this and it worked and I worked really hard at it. And, you know, it could have happened to anybody. He was just the guy it took off with. So – But yeah, so we got some more, you know, and we'll talk about Destiny for a little bit. There was a lot of news this week about Marty O'Donnell, the composer for Destiny,
and Halo. Legal
battle. And Halo, yep, he's the one. And oh man, I love the type of music that he does in it. It's so much better than the rock stuff that they kind of tried to switch it to, and they're still doing. I'm not a fan of the rock stuff in it. I mean, it's okay, I guess, for the commercials, but it's like, it's really off. It's really strange. So anyway, you know, he was the composer for it, and he won the legal battle. And I guess he, you know, for battle over some of the rights and shares and revenue of the game, for both games, I guess. And, you know, it's interesting. It definitely, you know, I don't want to get, you know, there. I don't have it all in front of me. But there was a lot of court documents that were released because of this. Standings, how much money the game made in the first few months, and I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, there was a. But, I'm trying to think of where I saw the. Nuts! Come back to me because I got to find where I saw somebody. Oh man, because I can't remember who it was that had the article up.
It was IGN that I saw it on.
Yeah, but I saw it, like, there was one that was, like, super in-depth. I think it was on VentureBeat had, like, it was a huge breakdown. Like, it was a really in-depth thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, it says basically in addition to the initial payout of $142,000 or $142,500, he is own profit sharing program. Yeah, he owned profit sharing program. O'Donnell to hold up. Yeah. So, yeah, VentureBeats described. So, yeah, it was on VentureBeats. Yeah, but like, a lot of it came out that like a lot of the story changed.
Yeah.
Okay. The court also awarded him $95,000 on top of it. Let's see here. Yeah. It said, oh yeah, man, dude, because the game made a killing. It was they spent over, they spent $500 million promoting it. They made $600 million in the first month. Oh, I'm sorry. Generated billions of dollars and, oh, it sold more than 60 million copies in the first month.
That was more what I remembered hearing, I think.
Right, it generated billions. So,
yeah.
You know, it's the game's a juggernaut. I love it. We all know I've been obsessed with it, you know, especially the last few months. And, you know, good for him. You know, he deserves it, you know. So much changed after him leaving, too. You know, apparently a lot of the story changed. There was just a lot that went down afterwards that changed a lot of the game. You know, a lot of the story and whatnot that a lot of people riffed on, understandably. Like, there's a lot of the story that just wasn't there. People joke, like, what story? You know, there's literally no story. And a lot of it had to do with the, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff. But that aside, you know, there was still some other good, you know, oh, actually. Okay, yeah, so some other parts of that were basically saying that Destiny 2 was supposed to be coming out, like, right now. And that's, you know, it's what pushed it back a while because of issues with Marty and a lot of other things going on behind the scenes when it all went down. For example, right now, today, if you jump in Destiny, you're going to get a lot of the Taken King stuff, even if you don't pay for it. And I did. I jumped in, today's Tuesday, but, you know, if you're listening to it on Wednesday. When I jumped in, so much was different. The vault, how you get your guns, how you get your armor, how you get your quest, all different. New quest. I was, you know, it was insane on just realizing how much stuff was different. You, ghosts have different stats attached to them now, different emblems, and I've realized it. They have a new emblem for every NFL team.
Really?
I found the Packers one. they have a Miami Dolphins one. They have a Saints one. You know, they have a Bills one. You know, but they call it different names, but you get an idea real fast who they were. Like, oh, okay, let's just put them in there because people are going to love that, of course. So, you know, the first thing I want to get is the Packer one. Thank God it's one of the vendor ones. So, you know, it wasn't one of the ones today. So I guess like every 12 hours it changes. So I picked up whatever two was there right now. And so, yeah, so that was cool. Just the way you know, if you have Destiny and you haven't played it for a while, jump in and just look at the difference and look at the changes and kind of run around the tower. It's going to take you a minute to kind of like, oh, wow, this is not here anymore. This is there. This is here. How you get into things are just completely different. The way you do quests are different. It's really odd, but it's really cool. So yeah, once we get off with this, that's what I'm going to be doing. I am so excited for next week for the release of it, where we can get into the new quest, the new area. There's just so much new stuff. You know, just the I forget the name of them, but the public events are completely revamped. Where before, the public events were this thing would drop in the middle of an area, and hopefully there was someone else that could run up and help you with it. You might be able to take it on by yourself, maybe not if you were a lower level. The new ones, the new public events, there's three different tiers. You start out with one, and then the second tier is so much harder. Like, you have to kill three wizards within 5 seconds, or within like 5 seconds they all have to be killed at the same time. So you have to plan it out. You have to plan which monsters run into the other ones to explode, so you don't want to shoot those ones. Like, and that's just the second level. And then there's a third, which no one knows about. We'll find out. And that's just public events. So like, it took something that was so, okay, we've done this a million times, it added new life into it. And yeah, I'm sure, you know, after a few months of Taken King, people will be like, okay, we've done this.
And refresh my memory real quick. When does Taken King drop?
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, okay.
Yeah, so on the 15th. But, yeah, well, we'll be right back. Again, you're listening to The End. Again, you're listening to We Geek Podcast on The End.fm. All right, and we're back. Okay, I've talked enough about Destiny. So, yeah, excited about that. So, anyway, we'll get into some comic book news. Wasn't that much this week? You know, I tell me, what did you read?
I caught up on the Secret Wars stuff.
Yeah?
And I do want to say, it just totally left me. We had a couple of them end.
Okay.
This past week, Future Imperfect ended.
I want to write some of these down because I have a backlog right now that's just, whew. And you know, I kind of want to.
Yeah.
What did you think of? You said it was Future Imperfect.
Yeah, and that was an interesting story, and it ended on a really interesting way. It was a big play on the there was a very specific wordplay involved at the end, and I thought it was kind of clever.
Oh, cool! That would definitely be one series.
Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde ended.
Okay.
And that was, I cried at the end of that one. I really did.
That's one series that I haven't been reading, but I'm going to give that a chance.
It's one that now that it's out, and it's what, like 3-4 issues, maybe? I think it's only like 3. Totally worth it. Absolutely worth it. The payoff at the end is great. I loved it.
Oh, cool, cool.
Thor's is good. I am really digging Thor's.
Okay.
It's not over, but it's still really good. That's another one that's going to be like read in one shot. Totally. What else was there? I'm trying to think of what else I read. Thanos, was it Deadpool versus Thanos or whatever that one is. That's, I don't know, like, that's an odd one. Like, I'm gonna keep reading it,
right?
But it's strange. It's very strange.
Yeah,
and I can't think of, I can't remember any of the other ones because they're really memorable. But those are the ones that stuck out to me at least.
Okay.
Marvel Zombies versus Age of Ultron or whatever that one is.
Oh, how'd you like that?
That one ended, and that was good. I liked that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I need to finish that. I've read the first two issues, I think.
Yeah, and now I think it's another one that's like just three.
Oh, okay. Right, and that's the one with Hank Pym, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I want to finish that one. So I guess, I just have one more to read on that. That's the thing, I'm getting so many of these mixed up, but I just jotted those down to make sure I pick them up if I don't have them. I have a lot of them. I'm not kidding. I picked up like 3/4 of this, and I'm questioning, should I pick up the rest or not? I really don't want to. I don't know. Yeah, so I have a lot of them to get through. I've kind of put Marvel to the back burner for a week or so. And the last few weeks I have. Now that Futures Imperfect's done, I'm going to read them all the way through.
Yeah, do that. Definitely do that. And Spider Island. Spider Island is 5 issues, and they just hit 3. And Spider Island's good. I've really enjoyed what they've done with that.
Right. Well, from what I understand, some of this stuff from Secret Wars, like we know, Wolverine and Old Man Logan is going to carry over.
Right.
Now, from what I understand, some of the Spider-Man stuff might be doing that too.
There is talk that the end of Renew Your Vows is going to play huge into the revamped Amazing Spider-Man.
Which is really cool. I like that, we're not just reading these what-if stories, that these what-if stories are going to be part of the canon.
Right. Some of them are fun. Like, not Weird World, but the one that was more throwback. What was it? With, like, the Indiana Jones guy. You know what I mean.
Yeah. What was that called?
It wasn't Weird World, was it? No, it wasn't
Weird World.
Is it where monsters live or something?
Where monsters dwell.
Dwell, that was it, thank you.
Yes.
Like something like that. Like that's a fun little one-off to be like, hey, remember, 100 years ago when Marvel did comics like this, kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I loved how that one opened up. She's like, I have a baby. And he's like, don't worry, we're going to take care of it. And then he tips. Yeah, he just totally dips. I thought that was cool. Man, that's awesome. So have you read any DC or Image at all?
I haven't read any DC. I haven't read any new Image. Okay. I did finish, where you could consider stopping with Spawn.
Okay.
In a sense, at 160.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's taken me like a year to get that far.
Jeez.
And there is, and that's the thing about this is like Spawn is a comic that has like a fantastic handful of issues, and then it kind of plods along for a few, and right when you get to the end of the rope, you're like, I'm done with this. I can't do this anymore, but I'm going to do one more and see what happens. And then it picks back up again and it sucks you back in. It's like, damn it. Okay.
Yeah, see, I don't know how you do that. I kind of did that with Walking Dead Walking Dead was a few years.
Yeah.
I didn't read it. I think I caught on to Walking Dead in like the 20s or 30s when I started reading it, and then I didn't read it for a while.
Yeah.
And then I read like 4 or 5 volumes in a week. Or 2, maybe. It was insane, for me at least, for reading comics. So like this week I got into I finished Deadly Class, and I really liked it. That was the one I was talking about earlier, how like they drop acid in it, they do a bunch of crazy stuff, and it was such a really cool book. I really enjoyed it, and I want to read volume 2, which I'm sure is out, right? Like Deadly Class has been ongoing for a while now, right?
No, I thought it was pretty new.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it was at least 2 volumes.
I don't know. I've only seen 1, but I'll have to check again.
There's 3. 2 is out. So, okay cool. I really enjoyed that. It was such a different series. If you didn't catch it the last few weeks, it's about a kid who, He's homeless. You know, he's smart, but you know, it's just a weird shot in the life of him. And you know, he gets mixed. I forget how it happens. Actually, he gets picked up and basically, you know, ushered into the school for assassins, for hitmen, basically. And he just, you know, he's being picked on. He's the new kid at school. Everyone wants to test him, you know, to see how he does. And I don't want to really say much more than that, but, you know, just crazy stuff happens.
Yeah.
The stuff they do, and how just weird some of them are. Some of the places this comic takes them to, like there's a concert they go to that I did not expect.
Yeah, right. All.
Yeah, it just took such a turn and such a direction I didn't expect. And, like, there's these characters in it that I'm disgusted and curious about at the same time. Yeah, there's a clearly a bad guy in this, and he lasts throughout it. You know, I guess he comes in towards the end, I guess. But, you know, I'm just like, who is this person? He's totally disgusting, and that's the idea. And it's like, I want to know more about him. I want to know what the heck his deal is.
Yeah.
And you know, so yeah, so I definitely want to read volume two. Another one that I read, which I told myself I was going to save for the poll that we're going to do, which by the way, I'm going to put up this week on the new Facebook page on We Geek Podcast. It's going to be like our fan group Facebook page. It's so basically, more people can post things, not just me, not just Logan, but anyone. And I'm going to post a poll this week, and it's going to have Southern, and it's basically going to be what we talk about. So even if I do read one of these ahead of time, it's okay. We'll pick a poll what to talk about, and you know, we'll spend a segment or two talking, or probably a whole segment talking about it. But one of the books was Southern Bastards. The other ones I'll read off before I talk about Southern Bastards it's Southern Bastards, it's Why the Last Man, DMZ, Seconds, and Scott Snyder's Witches. So those are the books that are going to be up for kind of like our discussion thing. But I did actually read Southern Bastards Volume 1, and then I immediately read Volume 2.
Nice.
I was just hooked. yeah, dude, just totally, you know, it's – and I'm not going to spoil a thing.
Yeah, you didn't see that coming, did you?
Right, yeah, there's a lot of things that you don't expect – and directions it takes and turns it takes, and I love the storytelling.
Yeah. And if you ever lived in or grew up in like South, you'll look at this and you'll say, oh yeah, I know analogs of these people. Absolutely.
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely. And so like, I mean, I live in Central Florida, so it's not like this. You go north of that, you know, and you start getting, especially north of Florida, you start getting into like kind of the Bible Belt and whatnot, you see this.
Yeah.
And I the whole time I'm like, how much of this is Jason Aaron taking from real life? And apparently he's taking a lot.
A good bit.
And I'm sure some of it is exaggerating, but I just, you know, some of the characters they follow and some of the things they do, he really makes you think about them differently later on, and then you go back and forth, if that makes sense. You're like, oh, this guy's just a bastard, you know? And then sometimes you're like, oh, how is he making me feel this way about this person? And, you know, and then at the end you're just like, oh, I don't know, it's just, and that's what it's supposed to do. You know, and so it was an interesting book. I'm on, I read volume one, volume two. I think there's a few issues after that. So, you know, I'm in and I'm hooked now. So nice. I'd like to actually talk a little bit more about it if this is one of the ones that are picked. But we got some other ones. We got Why the Last Man, DMZ, Seconds, and Scott Snyder's Witches. So got all those to kind of talk about later. Let's get into some of the news for the comics. They announced who the Totally Awesome Hulk is?
I did, and it's the obvious choice, and it's not a bad choice. I mean, Amadeus Cho has been around for a while now.
Right.
And, it was kind of the no-brainer choice, really.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I liked how they released a bunch of comics, like covers. Like, who is it? One of them was, like, Thor's head.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. But, hey, who knows? A what-if comic. Now, Amadeus Cho, I don't really know much about. You want to help me out? Who that like
is? He's a nerd who's been helping Bruce Banner a lot.
Okay,
he's a good kid. It made sense. It really did.
Okay, well there we go.
he kind of took Rick Jones' place in a way.
Okay, yes, I know Rick Jones.
Yeah, so. he kind of became the new Rick Jones, more or less.
Okay. Hey, that makes sense. Now, what about this? I saw this Red Wolf.
Red Wolf is right now he's in Marvel's 1862 or whatever comic.
Okay.
Because they needed a Native American, but the thing is like it's a good character. It's not just like they threw somebody in there. So he's getting his own title for the relaunch. And Nathan Edmondson, who was on Black Widow, is going to write it. Dalibor Telesic, who did the art for Master of Kung Fu, is going to do the art, which is awesome because that's such a cool art style. I can't wait for this. And Jeffrey Verige will do the cover art, as well as because of his heritage... He's going to kind of guide the cultural elements of it. So it's not like exploitive or just ignorant. It's going to have some guidance to it.
And good.
I'm excited for this. I really am because this is another group that doesn't get enough credit for pretty much anything, but to see like a solid Native American superhero, or just maybe that's too much. A lead character is just awesome, and
that's cool.
So this is definitely going to be one I'm going to pick up. And we saw him in the all new, all different artwork.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of comics they still haven't announced.
Yeah.
Yet, and I think that's one of them. Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But hey, man, we'll be right back. Again, you're listening to We Geek Podcast on the N.FM. All right, welcome back, We Geek Podcast. We got just a few more comic stuff, and we'll get into some reviews and a little bit of wrestling. Did you see Marmaduke creator Brad Anderson died?
Yeah, he was 91, I think.
Yeah, man. One of the this lady I worked with, she was excited when the Marmaduke movie came out, and I was like, I don't know what that is, but yeah, it was a comic that was so. So long ago, and it was just me being young and ignorant and dumb, but it had an impact. So it's that's sad.
Sad news. Very sad.
Right.
News.
Right. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We got some other comic book news here. Let's see. I saw that. You see, there's a new Star Wars comic coming out called Shattered Empire.
Yeah, they teased this a while back. I didn't know when it was coming out though.
Right, they have that in a book called, was it Star Wars Aftermath?
Yeah, which is getting some mixed reviews. Like, some people would say it's good, some of it's not so good. So I want to, but I definitely want to read it for sure.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to take place, after Return of the Jedi, before The Force Awakens. So I'm in. I don't care what kind of reviews it's getting on it. I want to read it. So let's see here. There was, did you see they were doing the Marvel 92 covers?
I like these. These are neat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think it's in December. Yeah. So you're going to see a lot of different versions.
Oh, good. Marvel. Just in time for the last issue of Secret Wars to come out.
Yeah, dude. God. I wouldn't be surprised if it's pushed till next year.
Yeah.
Man, like, it needs to end. Like, but I thought it was really cool. I love the way those things are drawn. When I saw it, I was like, I guess I got to get all of these.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, let's talk a little about wrestling. Tell me about what happened on NXT and Raw.
NXT this past week they started the Dusty Rhodes, what did they call it? What are they calling it? The Dusty Rhodes Classic. I think it's a tag team tournament.
Gotcha.
Very cool. Anytime I get to see Rhino, I'm down. He and Baron Corbin teamed against was it the Ascension, I think. A couple other matches. They keep putting Eva Marie out there. They keep trying to make Miss All Red Everything happen, and it's not going to happen because she's terrible. She botched like the big, it was like the big, and her opponent, who was an Australian wrestler whose name I do not remember, it was something K. She wasn't a regular, but, somebody brought in, okay, great, we'll show off some new talent. And it was the whole thing of, like, hey, she hits her big move, and then, it's one, two, and a half. you know, and it's like, oh, and it's at the last second, and then, you know, Eva rallies and wins, much to everybody's chagrin. The problem is, she almost forgot to kick out. And can see, you can clearly see, it's like, one, two, and the hand comes down for three, and the referee has to stop.
Oh, wow.
There's a split second where it's like, it's not like how he pulls away, usually, because it's like, oh, no, we don't get to three. He had to stop. He didn't make three. And that keeps happening. It keeps happening because Eva is terrible and they need to stop this. Because this is just bad. This is all bad. And all she got booed the hell right out of the building. And I love my Full Sail people for that. Because they don't take any crap.
Yeah, no, I've seen her on that Divas show.
Start me on Total Divas. Don't. But then we had Raw the other night. Last night, but it'll be the other night, you know. And, kind of show. Right. We had Sting doing his kind of, you know, Joker-ish bit. Mm-hmm. His sort of funny guy that was more, you know, like, wacky comedy sort of guy.
I thought it was like, oh, what am I going to do, the statue? I'll put a mask on it. Exactly. Get him.
Yeah. Then, you know, we had some... None of the matches were really interesting. I'm sorry. Xavier Woods' trombone needs its own merchandise.
Right.
Yeah. He has grabbed that. The New Day, in general, has taken their angle and run with it. But Xavier Woods and his trombone is the best. He's grabbed that thing and just run full speed ahead with it. Oh. And he and those three and Edge and Christian with their kazoos had the best segment. That was great. But.
Oh yeah, so, it's cool seeing them back on it.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. We got the what is it, in 2 weeks?
Night of Champions. Yeah,
Night of Champions. Yeah. All right, man. Well, let's get into some reviews. Talk a little bit about Mad Max real fast.
Mad Max is fun. Mad Max is really great. The world is huge.
Nice. That's what I was curious about.
The combat's good. And I say this in a good way. Mad Max is a game I've been looking for where I can, you know, I can watch something else or listen to something else and just play the hell out of this and not worry about the story or anything. And I say that because, not in a bad way. Like, there is a story there and it's kind of necessary, but it's ultimately fairly forgettable. But I say this because I'm just coming off Until Dawn, where, right, like, you had to pay attention completely. Like, that you had to be totally focused. So this is a nice change of pace, and it's, you know, I don't think story wise I've done much of anything. I've done sides that, like, I've cleared so many of the towers and the scarecrows, right, and everything out. Like, I've done all the side stuff, and it's fun. I like playing it, so that's my ringing endorsement. I enjoy it, and the storms are great. Like, all of a sudden it's like, oh crap, and a giant storm is coming. What are you gonna do? Well, I'm going to stand here in the middle of this camp and keep beating the hell out of these guys until a giant piece of scrap comes along and knocks me off the cliff. Oops. You know, it's good. Nice. It's fun. I enjoy it. I am thoroughly enjoying it.
Nice, nice.
You went and saw a movie this weekend that I kind of go back and forth on whether or not I actually want to see.
Yeah, no, definitely rent it. It's funny. It's Vacation. So, yeah, no, it has a lot of funny moments. It really surprised me. We kind of talked about how it got some mixed reviews. Some people really liked it. It surprisingly got better reviews than it did bad reviews, I guess. I thought it was going to get bad reviews all across the board. Is what I'm trying to say. But it was really, and Chris Hemsworth, like, he's hilarious in it. A lot of the cameos are spot on. I think Charlie Day's in it. He's from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
and his bit is funny. A lot of the random characters are just hilarious. And like I said, Chris Hemsworth, that whole scene and stuff with him, few scenes, is spot on. And Ed Helms is actually really funny in it. Like, a lot of the, just how he interacts with the family is so awkward, and I guess that's what they're trying to do with, you know, they're trying to get that awkward, like, he didn't know how to talk to his son. This takes it to another level of awkwardness, because Ed Helms just acts like an idiot with whatever he does. But it's definitely worth a rent, you know. Okay. You know, but yeah, it's it was better than I thought it was going to be, you know, so it was cool. But let's talk a little bit about Mr. Robot, because I know we both saw that.
And for some reason, like, I just started watching it, and then the next thing I know is, like, you commented on Facebook, you're like, I started it too, and I was like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, no, for weeks now, a few of my friends, Kim and I forgot who else, have been like, you need to see Mr. Robot. They've tagged me a few times. They're like, have you seen the show yet? And I'm like, no, I've heard good things. When I first heard it, first saw it, I didn't know what it was about. I was like, looks like a hacker show. I was like, I don't know. And I never gave it a chance. I never gave it a shot. We have so much stuff to watch and to do and whatnot. So sometimes it's a little overwhelming. But this was one that I was like, okay, I know I'd give a chance. I never really watch anything on USA anymore, honestly. Raw, that's about it. So I never really give their shows a chance. And I'm glad I did. I watched this in a day. I watched this in 24-hour time frame. Somehow got work involved, you know, in between that. But yeah, man. So tell me what you think about it.
And here's an interesting thing. Again, coming off of Until Dawn, Rami Malek is in that game.
Right, that's what I heard. Yeah.
And he plays another kind of sort of weird neurotic kid.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, like, that's watching him act was great, because he does kind of run the gamut. He does sort of live in that sort of troubled, on edge sort of state of mind for most of it, and then he falls over it.
I felt like I was on drugs watching him at some points.
At some points, yeah, big time.
Yeah. Like, you really, like, I don't know who directs some of these episodes, but you really get a good sense of kind of where his head is at. I love the narration. That's one of my favorite things about the show.
Yeah.
We should maybe put a little bit of a spoiler. I'm not going to try and spoil anything from the show, but, you know, if you want to go in blind, go in blind and go watch the show, because that's what I did, and I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to get in any spoilers, but I thought that it was described best when I read it as a compelling descent into madness, and that's what it is. Because you can't tell really, like, what, you know, he's talking to himself, he's questioning himself, and you're just like, I want to enjoy this. I want to see where this goes and, you know, how deep he gets into this problem that he has, these hackers and whatnot, and this world that he's in, how deep he goes into it, and, you know, how much it just keeps stacking and it keeps adding, and how much pressure can you take before you crack and snap and break. And, you know, I thought it was really cool.
And the interesting thing is, he's not talking to himself.
Right, exactly.
He's talking to ostensibly us as people he knows he's made up.
Yeah, exactly. I love it.
It is. Like, the framing of so much of this is fantastic. And then once you get to that particular point, and then it starts to spiral, and then just when you think it can't get any crazier, literally, it does. And you're kind of back to where you thought you started, but with all of this, you had this trip to get there.
Right, yeah.
It puts a whole new spin on everything.
Yeah, there's so many different spins to it. It makes you view things just differently. Like, you know, it's just so different, and it's a breath of fresh air, you know, on TV, where this is just so different, you know. You know, like, even one part, he's like, you know, he's talking about this girl. He's like, maybe I'll start liking those shitty Marvel movies. And just, like, it's just such a commentary on just the time and the age that we're in. Yeah. It has a lot of the, you know, 99% stuff. It has a lot of that stuff. But we were talking, actually, about Fear the Walking Dead and how I didn't like how they did that. I love how this did it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I loved how, you know, they did it right with this. You know, it's, you know, and again, to talk a little bit about what goes on in the show, it is about a computer programmer, and it is about, you know, the 99% and how he views the world and, you know, and all that. So it's it's a lot of that in how the Fear of the Walking Dead was just so bad at how they executed it. This does it beautifully.
Yeah.
You know, it does it. It's a real masterpiece. I guess that's all I'm going to say about it, is that this is a real masterpiece, and people need to go watch
it. It's 10 episodes. Take the time. It's absolutely worth it, hands down.
Well, we got to get out of here, so let's do some house cleaning. You know, you want to go to our website, or I'm sorry, our Facebook group. It's We Geek Podcast. There's a We Geek Podcast Facebook page too, so that's one where, you know, I'm going to start adding people.
Well, hang on, we're getting crossed here. The page is what we had. The group is what we have now.
Exactly. So there's a page and there's a group. So please come join our group. Talk in it. You can post things, you know, and other people can see it. It's going to be a good time. That's what we're kind of soft launching now. Now we are on, you know, the N.FM. We're going to be Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So please listen to us live. And yeah, our Twitters is at We Geek Podcast. Are at Adam Estep,
at the Logan Witt,
and our email is wegeekpodcast@gmail.com. Well, we gotta get out of here. Good night, and Captain.